tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Season 9, Episode 4 of 90 Day Fiancé. My name is Marty, and I'm sitting here with Jen.
What up, guys?
And let's go ahead and get started with Ari and Benny.
America's favorite couple.
Oh my God. So, family wants to say goodbye to the baby, and they want to do a little lunch. And that's like their only opportunity to say goodbye to the baby because Ari gets mad at them again.
Yeah.
And says, well, pretty much, no, you're not going to say goodbye to the baby. It's cold out there.
You know what? I am completely still on Team Ari for this because I think that, first of all, the whole issue about them being upset they didn't know they were leaving is because of Benny. That's 100% Benny's fault.
Sure.
So therefore, 100% the wine got thrown because of Benny. And then I think he is completely ridiculous and delusional to be like, oh, why won't you come get lunch with us? Like, are you kidding? You know, like, I think it would be fair of him to be like, okay, I understand. You probably don't want to go get lunch with the people that just threw wine in your face. Like, so I'm with her on that. And, you know, and when he's like, oh, if she'd come and say hi, she could help the situation. Like, motherfucker, the situation wouldn't be there if you told your family you were moving to another country sooner. So I'm with her all the way on this one. I'd be totally done with these guys.
I mean, but to not allow them to see the baby one last time before they got on the plane, that's a little much.
Yeah, but then again, the thing with that was their last time to see them and say goodbye was supposed to be lunch, and that's where he brought Avi to the lunch, and then it was a development there at lunch. Again, Benny, in my opinion, being stupid and being like, why don't you guys come to the airport too? Like, come on, man. You should know your wife isn't going to want them to be at the airport. Like, well, you know, and so, like, I understand wanting to say goodbye, but, like, you saying goodbye at lunch before the night you leave, I think that's okay.
To be fair, they, who knows when they're going to see them again because they're in Ethiopia and he's going to America. So it's like, how, realistically, when are they ever going to see Benny or the baby again? So I can see one last time just to say goodbye, one last shot.
Yeah,
it's like they showed up. They're there. They paid for a ride. Let them say bye to the baby real quick.
I don't know. I think it should be up to both of you who's all going to be there at the airport because, again, like the last, you know, one last time.
Who else is
going to
be there? It's going to be his family. Like,
well,
what,
yeah,
is his friends are going to show up?
If your wife has issues with them, you know, I think that should be respected.
But also, it's
a little
both
bit.
It's both of their babies. It's not Ari's baby. It's Benny's baby too. So if he wants them to be able to say goodbye one last time, he should have that right.
But I think that his sisters should have played nicer then. I feel like I'd be just like Ari in a way.
Ari's playing a power move, though.
She is a little bit, but I understand her being fed up. You know, I mean, how nice do you want me to be to you when you threw wine in my face? You know, I mean, like, that was very fresh. It was the night before.
But you know what? She acted like she wasn't bothered by that anymore.
But that's like what.
Well, obviously she's full of shit.
You're bothered, but she was just over. She's done. She's like, I'm moving. I'm going to America. I'm probably never going to see these clowns again.
Yeah, so two more minutes of them saying bye to the baby real quick, would have killed her?
Setting, she was being
petty.
Yeah, she was.
She's being very petty.
But I also, I don't know. I like, it was being petty in the moment, but I also think that, again, like, Benny should have asked Ari, like, hey, is it cool if they come to the airport? Or I don't know. I think there could have been better communication. I think that if the sisters acted more mature and didn't throw wine, like, you know, it's like a whole snowball effect.
But to be fair, from the sisters' perspective, Ari absolutely talks down to them and acts like she's better than them.
Well, yeah, she does it with everyone.
But you know what? I can see why they got upset by that, you know, and they just were fed up with her. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for Ari either. But to me, it's like, when it comes down to, like, your kid and its family, like, you should just be the bigger person in that situation. Because, you know what? You're never going to see them again, probably. You're going to America. So, like, a couple more minutes. You know, your baby grew up at this point, had grown up with these people. They can't say bye one last time. She wasn't thinking of the baby in that instance. She wasn't thinking about the baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, they were there. She should have probably just let them say hi or say bye. But, you know, I don't know. If I were Benny, I would have left the last time at lunch.
But Benny has no spine, and he avoids conflict like the plague. He
just
wants to keep the peace.
Yeah, and that creates more conflict with Ari and his family. He just sits there and says absolutely nothing.
In that moment, Benny should have said, listen, this is my family. No, they're going to save Eye to the Baby one more time.
Well, I'd like to see Benny from here on have a spine when dealing with Ari and his family and defending his family.
No, he's not.
Having a spine when it comes to Ari as well. I mean, like, he doesn't stick up for Ari at all. No. And he doesn't really seem to stick up for his family either.
Not really.
So I'd like to see that spine kind of
I also
of
like that
develop.
Benny's sisters aren't even remotely trying to hide the fact that they hate Ari.
Yeah. And that too, see, again, when they got to the airport, what did the sister say right
made
away?
A little
she
smart
goes,
comment.
Oh, I don't want to see her. And Ari heard it. So
of
maybe
she
if
did.
She kept her mouth shut, Ari would have
yeah,
still let her see.
But you know what?
Kid.
You know what? You shouldn't use your kid as punishment.
No,
in any situation,
absolutely not. But
ever.
I mean, you know, actions have consequences on both ends. And so maybe. If the sister didn't lead with
but
that.
But if Ari thinks she's better than them, but if she was really better than them, she wouldn't have let that bother her.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and the sister just thinks he's stuck and doesn't even really want to be with Ari. And I think, to a point, I think they're probably right. Like, yeah. if the baby wasn't involved, then...
Yeah,
you know,
I absolutely think that if there wasn't the baby, they would not be together. I 100% believe that.
Right. Okay, how about Emily and Kobe? Kobe.
Kobe. Well, he finally gets to meet his son after a
after
successful...
he paid the piper.
Yes.
He paid the toll to
he
the troll
his lady.
So he can see his kid.
Yes, and that was all good, you know, whatever, however many times in the shower or whatever, you know, good for them.
I need to come three times before you can see your kid.
Yeah, it's like a... Isn't it like a spell? Not that specific, but like, isn't there do something three? What is it? Bloody Mary in the mirror? Maybe that's same kind of concept.
And you know what? Kobe was so emotional when he got to see his son for the first time. He got real choked up and real. And to me, like, that's just further proof that she should have let him see his fucking kid first.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's why.
He said he didn't. He had zero regrets about the way it went down. But but still, you know.
What else
like,
is he going to say?
Yeah. And when he got teared up on the way there, I got teared up. I was like, oh, no, Kobe.
Yeah, it hit me.
Yeah.
As
and
a
then
dad,
again,
I felt it.
When he actually sees Coben, you know, same thing. I thought it was
felt it.
Really, really sweet. Really, you know, just kind of shows you the kind of emotion and pain that he's had, you know,
right.
all these last almost 2 years of not seeing his child. So,
and here's a question I would love to ask them. Did she even get an opportunity to wear that shit she bought?
You know what? I don't know. From the
I kind of get the impression, no.
Yeah, I'm thinking no, because based on the little clips we got, there was really no changing time.
It
and
seemed
it was,
like they undressed pretty quickly.
Yeah, and the last known location of those clothes were in her purse, which I did not see in the clip. So
I don't know.
Hey, whatever.
And she called him out for snoring. Well, I don't know if she called him out for snoring, because she said other than the snoring, it was perfect. But it's like, well, who's snoring? Yours or his?
Yeah.
Because she
kind of
has a
his.
Look. She has a look like she snores like a wildebeest.
I mean, there's a good chance she does, but if Kobe's snoring as well,
but you don't usually complain
aware.
About your own snoring,
yeah,
right?
So
it's usually
his.
Other people's.
Yeah,
okay,
and she noted that she has a mom bod and he's got a dad bod, but it all chemistry was there, it was lit, so those worries are
oh good
are put to bed
I
as
was
well
worried.
As themselves. Yeah. So.
And she taught English in China, and it started to bother me a little bit because she has that lisp, so she's probably teaching them fucked up English.
Well, I mean, just like their S's, right?
Yeah, right.
Hopefully.
This is so exciting.
Oh, my God.
You poor Chinese people. So I also thought it was kind of funny that she just kind of nonchalantly whipped out the titty right there in front of everyone, which is, I mean, God bless her, but I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because Kobe, definitely not used to that.
Yeah, yep.
In a room full of people just kind of whipping that sucker out.
Absolutely.
And hey, baby's got to eat, man. And also the fact that Emily looks a lot like her dad.
She does, yeah, definitely.
You know. Yep. It also bothered me, another thing that bothered me was that, you know, the baby was sucking on a titty and starting to doze off a little bit, and Kobe was kind of playing with his feet and she bitched at him about it. Like,
yeah.
Dude. He's falling asleep. He's going to fall asleep.
Yeah. And
I can tell.
I feel like she needs to be a little bit more delicate, and I think we'll probably see this more in the coming episodes
Ooh.
Of him adjusting to fatherhood. Like, you know,
her bitching at him.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, he hasn't 100%. Done this before. You had 2 years to figure it out.
I 100% get the controlling vibe from her.
Yeah.
Like, controlling mom vibe. Like, don't tell me how to father.
Yeah.
Okay. We introduced to a new guy, Patrick. Austin,
Patrick
Texas,
Star.
31 years old, and Thais, 25, from Monte Claros, Brazil. He has really big shoulders and a little head, so he kind of looks like a toe.
And he looks like Patrick Starr.
Yes, he does, a little bit. Yes. Yeah, so Patrick is an apt name. And he says something that, you know, it's not like a big pet peeve of mine, but it kind of irks me a little bit. And he's like, I'm very goal-oriented. Like, who isn't goal-oriented? Walking around who don't have goals?
Right. Like, you know. I think there's a lot of people that don't have goals, but I don't think there's a lot of people that would say, I
have goals.
Like, hey, are you goal-oriented? No. So, you know, nobody's going to say.
You know what I mean? Like, even if their goals are kind of stupid, like,
nobody's
going to
say, I have zero goals in my life.
Right,
I
mean, exactly. Most... Like, their goals are, you know. Anyway, but big meathead.
What I want to point out too is the opening gym scene intro of Patrick, of him being on the gym and lifting stuff and putting it down and whatever. Much better gym workout scene than the one that perhaps we remember from Colty in his mom's garage back in Nevada. When he had like those little 8-pound hand weights and he had really extreme music for him. It's like, all right, really?
And he's doing like the Sunday afternoon Nana exercise down at the activity, the like city center.
Yep. So I really like this one a lot better. This worked for me. Yeah. The Colty one did not so much. So
that's true. And then he says, Patrick says he's one of the strongest in the country.
How would he know that?
Yeah, that was my question. Who told you that?
Yeah.
Did you just decide you were one of the strongest?
I mean, I could see if he's somebody. I mean, there's probably not that many people training for the Olympics and stuff. But still, like, also, like, how do you know who's not caring about officially training or competing and...
Yeah.
I really bold claim, like, I'm one of the strongest guys in the country.
I guess if you're trying out for the Olympics, it's not far-fetched that you may be one of the strongest. It's like, well, did you get a certificate or something saying this? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
then,
who told you that?
And then what we learn after about him kind of makes you be like, all right, so you were one of the strongest guys in the country because you cheated.
Yes. His
awkward.
His reputation is a little tarnished. He cheated twice and got caught.
Yes.
So I'm thinking he's impulsive and probably a little bit of a dummy.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got caught once, you don't just immediately stop. Like,
right. You
no.
just you do some a different
just
one.
Does a different one.
A different kind of steroid and get caught. Like, ooh, I'm being sneaky. They won't catch me with this one. Like, nope. Yeah.
Right.
You blew it.
And then he was previously married.
He was.
To another weightlifter.
Do you think that she did steroids?
I don't know, because it sounds like they got divorced over the steroids. But I don't know if it's over the steroids or the fact that he kind of can't compete anymore, and that was the one thing they had in common.
Yeah, that's what my question was, which was he maybe not acknowledging that, you know, oh, maybe she didn't know, and then she found out, and then was like, all right, I'm out of here because, you know, you're a cheater with your workouts and whatnot, or if it was... Their life just kind of fell apart when he just decided
to stop. He may have been just a mopey bitch after. You know what I mean? Like people get like that sometimes when their dream is kind of encrushed.
Yeah,
and they
absolutely.
Just kind of mope around. Do you think his nuts are shriveled up like raisins? I wonder.
That's a good question. I mean, I didn't think about that, but now I will.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see him
I'm
in
interested.
Some swim trunks or something at some
I'm,
point.
I'm interested in seeing the equipment. Why not? lives with his brother who has an obnoxious Boston accent.
That's
I kind of love that.
Where I hate it because how? Okay,
I love
did
it
I
because
miss,
it's obnoxious.
Did I miss it? Were they from different places?
Yeah, no, they're from Massachusetts originally, but
both of them.
Right. Yes, and Patrick did not stay in Massachusetts very long, but
okay.
apparently his brother, who's older, did, and so he has that.
Like, how much longer did he have to stay there to get that accent?
Geez,
and
he's gotta
Patrick
be,
didn't.
I imagine there has to be at least a 9-10 year age difference if he's got that accent and Patrick doesn't.
Yeah, because I was like, why? Because I thought they were from the same place, and then but I was very confused why one has such a strong accent and the other doesn't.
And they don't
so
even
like,
look like brothers, so it's like you would never guess in a million years that they were related.
Yeah.
So they might have different dads or something because they look awfully different. I don't know.
Maybe, but I'm not a fan of John already, and I agree with kind of where things are going.
I think
that
he's
going
to bring
a
lot of entertainment to the season.
Yeah, yes, but not for Thais, though. She already seems very much annoyed by
she's
him.
She's not a John fan.
And
no.
I would be annoyed, too. I mean, like, they're sitting there trying to webcam, and there's John in the background, like, making little hand puppets and stuff, like, in half hearts. Like,
or just his obnoxious accent in the background just yelling.
Yeah. little Boston
hey,
accent.
Hey, go Sox! Son of a bitch.
Yeah, and, you know, and then he can't even speak Portuguese. And so, like, you know, I don't know. If I'm in another country, you know, I'm trying to talk to my boyfriend, fiance, whatever. It's like, I don't want some
drunk
clown,
asshole.
Weird, drunk asshole, you know, like, trying to be funny when you're obviously not funny to me. You know, like break off, you know?
I love it. Because I'm not involved. It's great. I also kind of, you know, I got a little bit of respect for Patrick because he started talking about his mom and her bipolar issues and drug addiction issues, which is not an easy thing to share, you know, with a large audience. So I got a little bit of respect for him in that sense.
Me too. And I definitely get where he was coming from saying, you know, how for a lot of his upbringing, you know, being around his family wasn't beneficial to him.
Not beneficial. Yeah.
I totally get that.
I get that. And not a whole lot of consistency, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And needing attention from his mom.
Yeah. And not being able to rely on that or get that.
Right.
Also impressed with him that he actually learned how to speak Portuguese. Unlike our buddy Paul, who spent like years in Brazil and never learned
not
a lick of it.
Lick of
not
Spanish.
A lick of it. Not even trying.
Portuguese, right. his dad is Brazilian and then retired and moved back, and that's how he met Thais, apparently. And I don't know, I can kind of see it in Patrick's face. He's got kind of a, you know, the sort of darker complexion, deep brown eyes. I can see that.
Yeah.
He sells security door to door, which I thought was a really weird thing to do for a living, I guess. Door-to-door sales? That sounds so sketchy.
Yeah, that's why when he was saying that, I'm like, what do you sell door-to-door?
It's security systems, I guess, but how do you even open that up? Like, hey, I can tell your place isn't secured.
let me help you with that.
You want me to come back later?
What if he just, like found his way in people's homes and was like, hey, I noticed your home wasn't secure as
now
he's standing
you can
in the living room.
Prevent this in the future.
Yeah.
I got some brochures for you to look at.
Provided you don't get shot on your way in.
Yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
Could be a good way to, you
but
know.
But he's fucking up his job because he went to Brazil 14 times for 2 weeks at a time.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of jobs will put up with that unless he's kind of working for himself, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think this new lady so far has given off major Jasmine vibes. Because he's gotta enable his location shit, and she's gotta know where he is at all times. He can't work with women anymore, apparently.
Yeah,
that's strange.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
that's really weird.
There is definitely a lot of jealousy there because I mean, he claims the location services idea was his, but I feel like she had to prompt
him.
There's
somehow. A reason he came up with that idea.
Exactly, and
right.
He was like, "Well, I was tired of the little fights over nothing." Like, okay, but I don't know.
That's weird.
And then him having to show her like through his security footage for his home. See, nobody was here. You know, like that
that's
again.
Too much.
That's. If you know, I mean, I understand trust can be harder if you're in such a long distance relationship, but at the same time, like, I feel that's a little bit too far.
That's too far.
That's too controlling.
And he's mentioned, I don't want to deal with her jealousy for the rest of my life. Like, well, dude, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, and this is another one that's saying, oh, I hope, like Gino, you know, oh, I hope that when she gets here, she won't be this way. And it's like,
no,
well,
dude,
what?
When people show you who they are,
believe them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm on her side, though, also with, in addition to John being annoying as fuck, is that, like, you know, she's already said she wants to live alone with Patrick in the future. You know, she doesn't want John to be living there, and I kind of get that. It's like it's normal for married couples to be on their own together, you know,
right?
Like, that's kind of where a lot of people with roommates, they, you know, when you get married, you no longer have the roommate, you move out, you know. It seems like it's that kind of milestone where it's natural and it's normal to expect to live alone with your spouse.
On the other side of that coin, though, most people, their spouse can work and earn a living. So maybe he needs his brother there because he can't afford the mortgage.
Maybe, which I don't think he said yet, but
I don't
know.
I mean, I get
possible.
The impression that he does okay, you know, at least okay selling security door to door.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, who knows? Okay, Jabri and Miona. Miona never had to cook, clean, or do laundry when she lived with her parents.
No.
I don't think she's going to like it very much.
I don't think so either. And I can't get over, I just see Anfisa. I see like Anfisa's cousin or something when I look
even
at her.
Visually.
Yeah, visually,
know,
mostly, yeah. And a little bit of the stone cold, you know, facial expression, yeah, attitude kind of thing, but mostly like in her appearance. I just see Anfisa.
It's the lips, I think.
I think so. It's the lips. And like the nose, eyes, lips, kind of the face. I don't know.
Right.
But I just, I'm like, oh, it's Anfisa in a slightly different form.
She is, yeah. She
it's like the
just,
Serbian Anfisa.
Yeah, right, right. She does not want to give South Dakota a chance. She doesn't even want to unpack.
Yep.
Because she just doesn't want to be there that long.
And it's like it's the fall, dude. And she's like, do I even have to unpack the winter coat? Like,
yes.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you probably need to unpack it for 2 winters.
Yep.
I mean, realistically. I mean, I don't know what the cost of living in South Dakota is. I'm sure it doesn't come anywhere near to Los Angeles. I'm willing to make that bet.
And it's like she was saying, you know, I don't know why he's pushing us to stay in Rapid City, but he's not pushing. He's being financially smart about it.
Right. And she's guilting him, too, yeah, which I don't like. That's manipulative.
And she's also acknowledging, I mean, I think she even said all in one sentence, like, I know he's trying to be financially smart, but I want to live in a big city. And so it's like, okay, you're acknowledging he's doing the right thing, but then you're also mad that he's doing the right thing.
Right, right. I also thought it was kind of funny that when Jabri tells her, you know, we got to get your makeup line up and running, and then we got to get my music career going because we need money really bad. Like, dude, you're going to have to get a job.
Yeah. Those things don't pay well. But you also need to get a job.
Like, do those things. Absolutely pursue your passion. I'm totally not knocking them for that, but it's going to take years for those things to take off.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is. So you can't rely on that. I mean, get it started now. Okay, fine. But you guys are going to have to work.
Yeah, you need to have a steady form of income coming
like,
in.
Like, I don't even think they should move until, I almost called her Anfisa, until Miona can legally work.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
They're going to need both incomes.
And you know what? And Jabri did have a good point with the, like how he says, with the internet, you know, anywhere can be a viable place. And he's not wrong, especially when it comes
to trying to
sell a makeup line. I mean, Yara is doing it, you know, through Instagram, you know, and
sure,
of course, the show helps.
Absolutely.
And then same with his music. You know, music you can upload it anywhere. You
definitely.
Know, it's definitely, you know, he's correct, I think, in what he said, at least for now.
Yeah, I mean, because eventually he's going to have to do shows.
Yep.
Eventually. I mean, you know, I don't know how many venues there are in South Dakota. I imagine probably not a lot.
Yeah, but
nothing
then,
compared
he can
to like
travel.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, he can travel for his shows, you know. I mean,
right.
Until they're on their feet and can actually move and afford to live in somewhere like L.A.
And he is kind of getting miffed at the fact that she refuses to see the beauty in South Dakota. Dude, she's not going to.
Yep, she doesn't want to. She doesn't care. You're never going to win her over. I get it. She doesn't envision herself living in South Dakota, and that's fine. But it's like, I think she would feel like, oh, if I start to tell him I like it or whatever, like, oh, he's going to be like, oh, cool,
we don't
have to move.
Don't give him an inch.
Yep, yeah. And okay. Like, give him an inch, and then he'll never move, you know?
Right,
so
maybe.
I get that, but hopefully she can be okay for a little bit there.
It's another instance in this show, and this is the third that I can think of off the top of my head, where a foreigner is kind of blown away by our grocery stores.
Yeah.
Right? Because Karini or whatever in the first season, she was completely blown away. She was like on another planet when she saw our grocery stores. And then Paul's wife, I can't think of her name now.
It was Karini.
Oh, she was Karini.
Yep.
Well, the Brazilian girl in the first season felt the same way.
I forget her name. Yeah, there was quite a few that commented about the size of our
fruits. Maybe her name was
Karini,
too. Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, there were a few and where they would comment, particularly on the size of the apples, how they're you know, unnaturally large, and the onions, and you know, I like that she like string cheese. This is weird. And you know, and then they, you know, Jabri was like, oh my God. And then they buy some, and she's about to just bite right into the thing. And he's like, no. And then shows her, and she was like, this doesn't really have much taste to it. And he's like, oh, I can't with you. I was on his side with that.
I'm on his side, except that I will just bite right into some
string. You know what
cheese.
I will admit, as of actually a couple weeks now, the last
it's
few weeks.
It's a maturity
weeks,
thing, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I just bit into it. It tastes the same.
I'm taking these extra steps. This is stupid.
Just, you know, and like, I don't know, like I get kind of grossed out now about when you peel it with your fingernail. Like, what's under your fingernail, you know what I mean? And you're putting it on your cheese.
That's
and you're
true.
You know, like, so that's where I get, like, ooh, you know.
That, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
So just bite right into it. And yeah. But so they bought food to make this dinner, the first dinner for his parents. And, you know, predictably so, it did not go well. I think starting with completely prepackaged frozen stuff was... you know, an
maybe
indicator how it would go.
Step. You know what? But I have to take issue with Dree's parents a little bit because it's like, listen, they're trying.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to. I mean, just do your best to kind of blaze through it and say, okay, guys, thanks. That was great. You know, but, you know, they're trying. It's not very good, but.
Yeah. You know. The mom was meaner than the dad was.
Definitely.
And by a lot. Definitely. I mean, I get it. It wasn't good. I feel like they should have expected that also, I think. And
right.
I'm sure they did predict that on their own privately. But it's like to sit there at the table and be this talking about how
nasty,
bad it is.
It's rubbery.
Yeah, like that was mean. I mean, like you said, they're trying, so at least give, and that's what Jabri was saying. He's like, hey man, we tried. At least give us credit for that. Like, you guys need to chill. And like I agree with him 100%.
Yeah, I was with him with that.
And then the last thing with them, I think, was the conversation about David and them starting the band back up. Miona is not happy with that. She's not happy with Jabri's friendship with David. And that puts... and
she's definitely pulling a Yoko Ono.
Absolutely. And I respected Jabri for kind of the firm hand he took with it, of where he says, like, you know, about David and Miona, like, you guys got to stop being childish and work this out. And
yeah.
And I agree. Like, they both don't like each other, but... at the same time, you know, they have to learn to respect each other. But I also feel like Jabri needs to also stop trying to force them to become best buddies.
They're not going
to
be best buddies. That's not going
to
happen.
Just like with Rapid City and her not liking it. Just accept it and learn how to adapt and deal with it that way. And hopefully she can do the same.
How weird that Jabri and David had that, like, their hair tied together or some shit. And
had mixed in a Serbian, pot, some kind of magic.
Some kind of magic spell in the Orthodox Serbian church. That was interesting. And now David has to raise his kids if he dies or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, not to knock, you know, other cultures. I mean, it's just interesting. I don't know.
I mean, our religion's weird, too.
Yeah, let's be absolutely. Real. I just kind of pictured like a, you know, like a black cauldron, you know, and some like green mist
smoke
coming off of it.
Yeah right.
As they got like both of little bald patches buzzed in, you know, but to each his own.
Okay. Kara and Guillermo. Guillermo likes Duck Dynasty. I'm pretty sure that's the show he was referring to in the beginning of their segment. And he was talking about Alabama. He was trying to do the Southern accent, which is kind of interesting.
He does a decent Southern accent. It was
about
right.
as good as anyone.
Yeah.
You know?
And I liked how he pointed out how we have different cows than they do. I'm interested in what, like, I've never thought about what cows, you know, from the DR.
Scotland
look like.
Has fuzzy cows. You ever see Scottish cows?
No.
They're fuzzy.
But I'm going to do some Googling later.
Super hairy. Yeah, they're kind of cool.
For sure. And then him being impressed by hay bales, which, you know, got to give him credit. They were driving through, you know, in Virginia, a lot of nothing. And he definitely was more impressed
with
the nothing more than Miona. Yeah.
See, Miona can learn a little something from Guillermo.
Exactly. You know, be more appreciative of the nothingness.
Right. Or just the respect the natural beauty around you, you know?
Absolutely.
So he wants a computer.
And
something fierce.
Kara does not want him. Or, well, she doesn't think he needs one.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. He wants to spank it when Kara's not around. And he needs a device.
Do you think that's his only motivation?
It's a big one.
Can he do that on his
only phone? I don't know. What kind of phone does he have?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? The screen's not
probably
as big.
A little an old Nokia one that Kara gave him that can't do anything because he doesn't need it.
So why else would he want a computer so bad? Does he play video games? Maybe he plays video games. But I'm thinking he wants to, because Kara's not going to be there all the time. He might be, you know, he can't work, so he's going to be stuck at home. Got to get it out. You know, he's got to rub one out. He needs something to do it to.
Well, that's probably part of it. But I also think, I mean, you know, he's going to be home all the time by himself, not working, you know, bored. Mm-hmm. And I mean, probably video games, probably, you know, video chatting with family, probably, you know, maybe job applications at some point, any kind of government paperwork
right.
he's got to do.
I mean, you do need a computer for that. But...
and it's like, you know, she said, you know, oh, you didn't have one before. Why didn't he one now? Well, because he lived in the DR, you know, and way
wasn't
less
as important.
Yeah, like you didn't need it there, but here in America, like Kara, don't pretend
you can't.
Like,
even
Americans
apply to
are
jobs.
Not on computers 24/7.
Yeah,
like, don't...
you can't even apply to jobs in America without a computer.
I think that it definitely boils down to control thing with her, and also I think maybe some fear of like who's he gonna talk to if he has a computer, you know, like what kind of
possible.
Stuff is he gonna do?
That's possible.
But for her to act like, oh, we can't afford to get you one. I mean, you can find a decent, you know, if he's never had one,
he doesn't
need
$1,000,
like a $300 boy. You can find refurbished ones, you know, whatever.
Yep. You know. Absolutely. If he just needs something for the internet and sending email shit, just give him a Chromebook.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, she's right to an extent because that, you know, they don't have an enormous amount of money.
Yeah. Definitely so don't go buy you can't I go buy him a MacBook or something, you know,
right.
But
don't get him a
something.
MacBook, but, yeah. But like you said, you can get a, you know, $200-$300 Chromebook and it, you know, would serve his purposes.
He's like, I need to get a computer, and she's like, best I can do is a toothbrush. So
yeah, so it, maybe she has, you know, maybe she has a point, but she just didn't say it very nicely.
Yeah, yeah, like I mean, definitely you got to budget your money, but to just she gave a pretty flat no. You don't need this. I'm deciding you don't need it, so you don't get it. And
it kind of goes back to Guillermo's concerns before about her not really respecting him.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Yeah, and then it got a little bit weird. When, you know, he was like, well, I'll just use my money from the things of mine I sold in the DR. And then she was like, well, your money is my money. But then when he was like, well, your money is my money, I need a computer. And then she's like, oh, wait a minute. So, you know, it's like how, Kara, you can't claim, oh, you can't spend your own money because it's our money.
It's like that old shitty joke that married guys would tell, like, what's mine is hers and what's hers is hers.
Yep, yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't like her.
Me neither. I think she's going to be... Quite possibly, she's in the lead for my least favorite female character for the show.
I still dislike Ari more, but she's definitely second place.
Yeah, I mean, well, Ari, we have several other seasons from the other spinoff shows
developed. It's not fair to Kara.
Yeah, yeah. When coming in,
we've
from
had a couple of seasons to hate
strictly
Ari.
This season. Yeah, we've already kind of established disliking Ari
of the new women.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. I just assumed
probably not my favorite. It's probably my least favorite. Yeah, you're right.
I just assumed we already don't like Ari, but in addition to her, who do we not like?
Awful.
And Kara's definitely leading the race.
Ari's
there.
Definitely got some work done, by the way.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, Bilal and Shida.
Not much from them on this episode.
No, and I'm not mad about that.
Me neither.
But she is still mad about that joke.
She is.
Still bugs her.
And she was tortured. Come on. You were tortured by living in a
it's
decent
home. It's not Guantanamo
home.
Bay here, lady. It's just a shitty house for 24 hours.
Exactly. Which the shittiest thing in the house was the ceiling, the paint chipping, you know, to be honest. And
but I would be worried about shit falling on me. That nasty ceiling.
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to be like having a glass of wine and, you know, like a flake of paint just
flake of something
floats down.
Probably lead paint too, because it's an old house.
Yep, probably.
Bilal's annoying as fuck.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, women, who is in the lead of who I hate the most, I think Bilal is in the lead for the men that I hate the most on the show.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think he's very, very full of himself. You know, he was, you know, laughing and being proud about his prank that he pulled on Shida.
Yeah,
and
it's like,
dude, like that blew up in your face, you know?
Dumb.
It was a dumb thing to do. Like trying to teach a child what grateful means. You
right.
know, like what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know?
I'm trying to teach you a lesson. Like, dude, she's like 37. You don't teach her lessons.
Yep.
Don't fucking do it. That's your wife or your soon to be wife. Don't teach her lessons. It's not right.
Yep.
And then his family didn't even seem bothered by his joke. Like they seemed like they were all aboard with it. And it's like, no, you guys should be telling him, dude, that's stupid.
Yep.
Don't test your wife, your soon-to-be wife.
And speaking of the family, you know, Shida, she did meet his parents and his sister and brother for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny that Bilal said beforehand, he goes, first impressions are everything. And it's like, says the turd that, like, your first impression was a falsehood of where you live, your money, your car, your whole self. But you're talking about how important first impressions are.
He's full of shit.
And I also thought it was really shitty of him to... You know, like, you should have your partner's back, you know? Like, you shouldn't invite, you know, your family over to meet your soon-to-be wife for the first time ever, and then you spend the dinner talking about, you know, like, oh, you know, she hated my prank. She acted like this.
He threw her under the bus.
A few times. He threw her under the bus, ran her over, and put it in reverse.
The story should
again.
Have been, you know what, that was a bad mistake on my part. That was kind of dumb. I shouldn't have done that.
Yep. Oh,
that's
but
what
she didn't think it was funny. You know, she was mad. She
and they seemed
it.
A little offended by that, but it's like... Dude, your house sucks.
Yeah.
Shut up.
For a guy that's in real estate, you know, your house is a piece of crap.
The house is a piece of crap, and they know the house is a piece. None of them live there.
That's why they were all on board with the prank, because they understood it'd be funny
it's
to bring her to
a piece
of shit house. Yep.
Yeah, but and they don't want her to think it's a piece of shit. Like,
she's the bad guy if she feels the same way, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And like, and then him also being like, oh, she lives in a fantasy land. Like that, like that's so mean to say about your wife, right?
And talking,
next to her.
Talking about her like she wasn't there.
Yeah, like, oh, she lives in a fantasy land. I'm like, you live in a fantasy land, Mr. Dude. Be grateful.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Absolutely. And I also think it's incredibly, to continue his theme of him being deceitful, I think he's being very deceitful in, he's like, as Shida says, avoiding the topic of children. He won't definitively tell her, I don't want children.
He's kind of pulling a Big Ed.
Yep. But he's telling everyone else he doesn't want children, but he knows that that is a deal breaker for her. And she's told the viewers it's a deal breaker. And it's like, you brought her here. You took her away from her old family and she was down to do that with you. And you know she talks to you all the time about having kids. And
so far, he's just been lying to her.
Yep. And you are intentionally avoiding telling her flat out, "Hey, man, I don't want kids. If you want kids, they're not coming from me."
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know what? I'm not saying he's too old, but his kids are already teenagers.
And that's totally fine if that's where he is in life, where his kids are all grown. He doesn't want to start over. That's fine. But if you know your partner is not on that same page, then you need to come clean about that.
You gotta let her know.
Like, when's he
gonna
tell her
about that
on day 89? Like, when's he gonna bring day 91? Like, you know, like, when are you gonna bring that up?
Yeah. All right. Well, that just about wraps it up for this rendition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Please join in with us next week where we'll talk about episode 5 of season 9, 90 Days Fiancé. Arrivederci!